Breaking news tonight, Donald Trump's surprise visit to Mexico, standing side by side with that country's president. Is Trump backing down on some of his signature promises? He says they didn't even discuss who would pay for the wall. Growing triple threat, another named storm gaining steam in the tropics, and hurricane watches now up in Florida, millions on high alert. Violent flight, an emergency landing with passengers and flight attendants injured during severe turbulence. Just the latest terrifying incident with pilots unable to see it coming. And destination unknown. The tickets are booked, the bags are packed, the plans are set. But imagine you're not even told where you're going. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. From the opening moments of his presidential run, Mexico has played a prominent role in Donald Trump's rhetoric, from fiery accusations about criminals and rapists pouring over the border to bold promises to erect a wall and force Mexico to pay for it. Fast forward to today, when Trump, in a surprise move, traveled to Mexico City on the invitation of that country's president, standing side by side in a photo op moment his advisors openly hoped would make Trump come across as presidential. But gone was the confrontational rhetoric. No talk of a bill for that border wall. So the question tonight, did Trump make the most of an opportunity or miss one? We begin our coverage tonight with NBC's Miguel Almaguer in Mexico City.
Arriving late this afternoon in Mexico City, Donald Trump's private meeting with President Enrique Peña Nieto was said to be cordial, what Trump called constructive.
We had a very substantive, direct, and constructive exchange of ideas.
After extending an invitation to the presidential nominee, Mexico's president seemed at times defiant, a point-by-point rebuttal of Trump's harsh critique of Mexico. He says Mexicans deserve the respect of everyone, a sentiment Trump even echoed.
Spectacular, hardworking people.
An about-face after Trump kicked off his campaign 14 months ago by vilifying Mexico.
They are not our friend, believe me. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Easing his stance on trade, specifically NAFTA, Trump was also pressed on his promised wall along the border.
We didn't discuss who pays for the wall. We didn't discuss
that, in stark contrast to Trump's promise to supporters on the trail.
And who's going to pay for the wall?
And when Mexican officials had taken on Trump previously, he fired back.
That wall gets 10 feet higher.
Embattled President Peña Nieto, whose popularity in Mexico hovers just above Donald Trump's, had likened the Republican nominee's rhetoric to that of a dictator like Adolf Hitler or Benito Mussolini. Former President Vicente Fox going even further on Trump and his plan to make Mexico pay for the wall.
I'm not going to pay for that wall.
With reports surfacing Team Trump had been negotiating with Mexico's president on the sit-down for 5 days, the U.S. Embassy, which often provides briefing and support to candidates on foreign trips, this time staying on the sidelines. Trump's team didn't reach out. Trump's visit to Mexico, a gamble.
He didn't know what the president of Mexico would say. But given the position he's in, he needs to gamble here or there.
Whether that gamble paid off is tonight up for debate.
In a tweet late tonight, Mexico's president is now saying that at the beginning of his conversation with Mr. Trump, he made it clear Mexico would not pay for the wall. That's in contradiction to what Mr. Trump said during the press conference earlier today. Of course, the presidential candidate is trying to look presidential here in Mexico, while the Mexican president is coming under fire for even inviting the candidate into this country. Savannah?
All right, Miguel Almaguer starting us off. Thank you. A big day and a big night with Donald Trump set to deliver what's being billed as a major speech on immigration, his signature campaign issue, and an issue where he's left a lot of people wondering lately where exactly he stands on some issues, even some who support him. NBC's Hallie Jackson is learning new details about Trump's high-stakes speech.
Donald Trump heading back across the border as his Mexico City meeting overshadows the biggest policy speech of his campaign so far on immigration. What to expect? Clarity, presumably, on what he'll do with the estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants living here.
Does he still plan to round up and deport
every last illegal immigrant starting on day one.
You are going to hear how he's going to address the 11 million.
Trump says he's not softening up.
I've had people say it's a hardening.
But even some of his own advisors argue for a more moderate stance on deportations.
Wholesale mass deportation, I think, is a moral and logistical impossibility.
Trump won't support a path to citizenship or sanctuary cities, in contrast with Hillary Clinton. A top Trump aide telling NBC News Trump will go after her hard tonight and call for better worksite enforcement and tracking of visa overstays.
We will build the wall.
Building a wall all along the southern border has been Trump's most consistent pledge. But on this side of the border, in the U.S., his attacks over on Mexico and his rhetoric on immigration have turned off many Hispanic voters, with Democrats working to turn them out in November. That includes voters like Maria Landeros, a housekeeper in Vegas.
More than 5 years that I vote, this year is the top, because I feel like we are under attack by Donald Trump.
Donald Trump needs to be worried not only about his paltry numbers with Latino voters, but also how his position really affects independents and moderate Republicans. Those are voters who are also turned off by his hardline stance on immigration.
While Trump doesn't have much support from the Hispanic community, a new poll just out shows nationally he's closing in on Hillary Clinton's lead. Tonight in Phoenix, a key test, how and if he can reconcile his more diplomatic tone in Mexico with the more fiery one we see from him on the campaign trail. Savannah?
Hallie Jackson, thank you. Lots to chew over with our political director, the moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. And Chuck, I think you'll agree this was a pretty high-risk move. Did it pay off?
Look, I thought as political theater went, yes, I think it paid off for Donald Trump. I mean, I think we're going to learn a lot more after tonight's speech about how effective today was in totality, because I do think it does matter. What is his position? What does he plan to do with the 11 to 15 million undocumented folks that are here? Does he soften his stance? Is his tone truly different in how he wants to tackle immigration? That we're going to learn tonight. But as political theater in Mexico, I have to say, I think this was a, you know, and granted, the bar is extremely low for Trump when it comes to staying on message and things like that. But I thought he exceeded that bar. He looked presidential. The question I have is, what the heck was the Mexican president thinking? I think he's in more political hot water tonight than anybody else.
A question for the Chuck Todd of Mexico tonight. Yeah. Chuck, thank you very much. Well, with many polls showing a tightening race now, Hillary Clinton was on the trail as well today, making her pitch to veterans, even as she continues to grapple with sinking favorability ratings. Here's NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Tonight, Hillary Clinton attacking Donald Trump for his drop-in visit to Mexico.
It certainly takes more than trying to make up for a year of insults and insinuations by dropping in on our neighbors for a few hours.
As Trump was grabbing the spotlight south of the border, Clinton trying to win over veterans at home, arguing to the American Legion Trump is wrong about the military.
I completely reject anyone, including my opponent, who calls the American military, and I quote, a disaster.
I like what she had to say, and I think she might just have my vote in November.
I'm a 1,000% Trump man. I just don't believe that I can trust Hillary, that she lies too much.
Her pitch to veterans coming as Clinton's favorability is dropping. A new poll showing more Americans view her unfavorably than ever before. Among women, her favorability down 9 points.
Madam Secretary, just a few words.
How are you doing, Andrea?
When do you think you might go to Mexico, Madam Secretary?
Clinton in public today for the first time in almost a week, spending most of her time with big donors, raking in at least $21 million in 3 days. Last night with Paul McCartney, Jimmy Buffett, and Bon Jovi.
Trump speaks here tomorrow and certainly overshadowed Clinton's speech today, but she's hoping she can win over veterans worried about Trump as commander-in-chief. Savannah?
All right, Andrea, thank you. We move to the tropics now, and a state of emergency declared in Florida as a gathering storm gains steam. Now Tropical Storm Hermine closing in. Hurricane watches are up, and that is not the only trouble brewing. There's also not one but two hurricanes headed toward Hawaii, millions bracing for impact. And we get all the latest now from NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
Tonight, what was once Tropical Depression number 9 has strengthened into Tropical Storm Hermine, slogging towards Florida's Gulf Coast.
The risk we have right now is we know we're going to have storm surge.
It's anticipated to be 3 to 5 feet. However, we have the risk of up to 9 feet of storm surge.
The system threatening to dump up to 15 inches of rain in parts of the Sunshine State. 42 counties now under a state of emergency. In some places, travel already treacherous. A driver rescued after this car was swept off the road. Nearly 11 years since Florida's last hurricane. Friend Metzler is already pumping water out of his Gulfport restaurant after high tide.
Just trying to keep it to where it's not a swimming pool.
Hermine expected to continue to threaten the East Coast with dangerous rip currents through the holiday weekend. Half a world away, Hawaii is bracing for Hurricane Madeline. Windows boarded up, FEMA flying supplies to the Big Island. Hurricane Lester not far behind, also churning in the Pacific. Tonight, NOAA partnering with NASA to fly a Global Hawk drone, the same technology once used by the military for spy missions, now capturing these images of the storm off Florida's coast.
It flies higher than the traditional manned aircraft do, and it flies longer. So we can stay on station over the storm for a longer period of time.
Storm surge expected to be a major problem up Florida's Gulf Coast. And right now, there are mandatory evacuations underway in parts of Franklin County. That's in the Florida Panhandle. Several coastal communities already starting to flood even before this storm makes landfall. Savannah.
All right, Gabe Gutierrez, thank you. Al Roker is here with us. Al, it's suddenly a real busy time in the tropics. I see a mess on your map there.
That's right. We've been talking about this system for 2 weeks now. We're going to be talking about it into next week. Hermine is 350 miles west-southwest of Tampa, 45-mile-per-hour winds. It's just about stationary, but you can see the rain bands already pushing out. We look for landfall sometime in the Florida Panhandle late Thursday evening, and then it continues up the coast. But look at the cone of uncertainty. This is the latest we've gotten from Boston, New York, Philly, Providence, Washington. All have to worry about this system going into Labor Day weekend. We have hurricane watches from Destin all the way to Anseote Bay. Look for hurricane watches. We've got tropical storm watches in Florida into Georgia, where we all also have the risk of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes from Savannah all the way down to Tampa. Rainfall amounts, 5 to 10, 12 inches of rain, but 7 to 8 inches all the way up into the Carolinas and Georgia. And we've got rip currents from Port St. Lucie all the way to Nantucket. And as we mentioned, we've also got Madeline, 95 miles southeast of Hilo. It stays to the south. Lester stays to the north, so hopefully they get spared, Savannah.
Your plate is full, definitely. Al, thank you very much. Well, history was made high in the sky today with the first commercial flight from the U.S. to Cuba in more than 50 years. It's a new chapter in the thawing relations between our two countries after ties were restored last year. NBC's Carrie Sanders takes us aboard.
JetBlue Flight 387 made history today. A celebrated takeoff in Fort Lauderdale, destination Santa Clara, Cuba. The last regularly scheduled direct service from the U.S. to the communist island, 1961. Among the 150 passengers on this inaugural flight, 16-year-old Sophia Compton from Chicago.
I'm missing a bit of school, but I think it's really historical.
The flight today is remarkable when you think back to 1962. Right now, we're over the same waters where the tense relations between the United States and Cuba led to a U.S. naval blockade of the communist island.
Making the landing at 11:57 a.m. today, that much more momentous. In the coming weeks, at least 8 U.S. airlines will begin flying from across the U.S. to various cities here, displacing those expensive and complicated charter flights.
You have to be prepared right now to go to Cuba and know that it's going to be the equivalent of sort of camping out.
The Cuban-American Martinez family traveled to Cuba today to get married.
We'll come again, maybe once a year.
And the Cuban government hopes more Americans will follow. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Santa Clara, Cuba.
Still ahead for us tonight, nightmare flight. It has happened yet again. A plane forced to make an emergency landing as violent turbulence leaves those on board with cuts, bruises, and broken bones. And later, bags check, tickets check. Destination? Well, that's the mystery. Would you want to take a vacation like this? We're back with terrifying moments for passengers and crew on board a United Airlines flight from Houston to London overnight. The plane had to make an emergency landing in Ireland after hitting severe turbulence midway over the ocean. 12 people were injured, including crew members and three children. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
On the ground in Ireland, United Flight 880 met by ambulance crews. Medics tending to the injured in the terminal.
First shot at 880.
It was early in the morning when the Boeing 767 ran into trouble over the Atlantic. Without warning, violent turbulence.
Four very huge drops in altitude, one right after the other.
With at least a dozen people injured, the pilot diverted to Shannon, Ireland.
We just want to confirm that the aircraft is off normal and that you're not landing heavy.
At this time, there is no control problems whatsoever.
There is a number of options there waiting for you.
United 880, welcome.
Once on the ground, passengers tweeted emergency landing in Ireland. A few people had broken bones.
Houston to London.
Others described the scene on board.
It was like one of those Star Trek episodes where you go through a field of rocks in the space, you know, just banging against everything. It was actually banging against things.
And so most of them that weren't buckled in, they hit the roof or the ceiling. There was one next to me that hit the floor and some injuries due to that.
Turbulence is not uncommon. In May, severe turbulence forced an Etihad flight to make an emergency landing in Indonesia. 31 people injured, some seriously. Clear air turbulence usually occurs when the fast-moving jet stream, which planes often use as a tailwind, suddenly collides with very slow-moving air.
The problem for pilots is that you can't see turbulence on radar. Clear air turbulence is a high-altitude phenomenon. Because there are no thunderstorms associated with it, radar won't pick it up.
In the U.S., the FAA reports last year 21 people were injured in severe, unexpected, violent turbulence. It's why flight attendants and pilots remind all of us to always keep those seatbelts fastened. Savannah?
All right, Tom Costello, thank you. When we come back, a hair-raising close encounter caught on camera. A deadlocked Supreme Court handed down a ruling today that could have a major impact on the upcoming election. In a 4-4 tie, the court refused to reinstate a controversial law requiring North Carolina voters to show a photo ID. A lower court had struck that law down, ruling that it was aimed at making it harder for African Americans to vote. That lower court decision now stands. Big change in Brazil tonight. Just over a week after the end of the Olympics in Rio, that country's president, Dilma Rousseff, has been ousted by the Senate for breaking fiscal laws while managing the budget. It's been a major drama in Brazil for a year now, culminating in today's vote, which Rousseff called a coup, as she has repeatedly denied those charges. A woman in Florida got quite a surprise when she looked up from her phone and came face to furry face with a black bear. She was sitting in her driveway when she suddenly noticed the unexpected visitor just inches away. She caught it on camera, sniffing her, before her son came out and scared it off. Wildlife officials released that video as a warning to the public. They are now trying to find and trap that bear. When we come back, how you can give yourself a surprise vacation and leave all the planning to somebody else. And finally for us tonight, all the fun of going on vacation with none of the stress of having to actually plan it. Adventurous travelers are embracing this new kind of getaway. All the arrangements are made for you, but one pretty key detail is left a mystery until you arrive at the airport. NBC's Jolene Kent explains.
Arielle Felchin and Alex Tepper are heading off on vacation, and they have no idea where they're going.
I really wanted to go somewhere with Alex, but I had no way and no time to plan.
They're trying a new travel startup called Pack Up and Go, which leaves the destination a surprise. Just go online, set a budget, dates, and type of trip.
If you like spas or craft beer, hole-in-the-wall restaurants, and then you tell us anything else we need to know.
Then Pack Up and Go gets to work. A week before departure, clients get an email with the weather forecast and what to pack, and one thing to save for later, an envelope to open at the airport.
So where do you think you're going?
We got the weather of where we're going so that we could pack appropriate clothes.
We know the city is very scenic, and so to bring a camera, we know that we had to bring hiking shoes and a bathing suit.
Other travelers have trekked everywhere from Austin for barbecue to Nashville for breweries, Chicago for a first anniversary, plus San Diego, New Orleans, and Minneapolis. The startup says it's not just for millennials.
We've had couples celebrating 70th birthdays or 30th anniversaries, or we've had women who have been best friends for 45 years.
What are your final two guesses?
Nashville.
Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine?
Boom!
That's amazing!
Boom! No cheating!
And away they go with a custom itinerary in hand.
This is nice. It's been exciting. There's so many great places to eat.
A surprise getaway that makes the journey as delightful as the destination. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Pittsburgh.
And that's going to do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Savannah Guthrie in for Lester. I'll see you tomorrow morning on Today. For all of us at NBC News, thanks so much for watching and have a great night.